Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. To the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio, and hey, I said it's Friday, you know what that means.
Start spreading the news.
Yep, you got that right. Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
Okay, it's a sunny but cold day in Schomburg, but other than that, I'm doing okay.
Well, that's good. And, hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast, talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for one popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, Stu is still not out there on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I'll gladly forward any of your messages along to Stu. So there you go. We are off and running, so I don't know where you want to start. What's been exciting to you that we can talk about?
Well, I saw some news that popped up a few hours ago, and based upon the news, I can honestly say that, in my opinion, the Bears will not be making the playoffs this year.
So, and I assume you mean the fact that it was announced that Khalil Mack will be having season-ending foot surgery.
That is correct, and my thought is this, and maybe you can give me your opinion. Has he played his last play for the Bears, you think? Is he done as a Chicago Bear?
I don't know. I think a lot's going to depend on, like, what his contract status is and, you know, all that stuff that kind of factors in, but yeah, you know, there's always a chance with, you know, these kind of things, depending on how recovery goes or what else happens. You know, he could be done.
Ed, do you think he's been, in general, a disappointment for the Bears? I know he started out terrific the first few games, but it hasn't gone that well with him over the last couple of seasons.
Yes, it depends, you know, like what your standard is or was for him. You know, what did you expect him to be? And I'm not quite sure that he constantly maintained the level that was expected of him.
No, he didn't. So, he actually didn't. And boy, he sure impressed everybody in his first few games with the Bears, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, well, you know, that first year, you know, he rolled out 12 and a half sacks. And I think, in all honesty, you have to expect double digits from a guy like that when it comes to sack totals. And that was the only year he did it. He had 8.5 2 years ago. He had 9 last year. It did look like he was on his way to double digits this year. He had 6 sacks in the 7 games he played. You know, and with the extra game, you think he probably would have gotten to double digits again. But, yeah, to me it's a little disappointing that he never got there.
Does the fact that he played for a substandard team diminish his performance?
No, because he was on some Raider teams that weren't very good, and he put up double-digit sack numbers in, you know, 3 or 4 years he played there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I mean.
seems like when you play for the Bears, it's the kiss of death.
Oh, you know, it can be at times. You know, there are, you know, players that come here to just kind of fade away, depending on, you know, who you are.
Yeah, it doesn't look too good when you take a look at their schedule for the rest of the season, although they have a chance Thursday, of course, with the Thanksgiving game.
Yeah, you know, you would like to think they would beat Detroit, but, you know, Detroit played really, you know, they played solidly against Pittsburgh, you know, and ended up with a tie, so who knows? And, you know, it is in Detroit, so, you know.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they lost that game to Detroit, would you?
No, not at all. And then looking at Mac's deal here, it looks like he has multiple years left on his contract. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. Yeah, he's got three more years after this. So
I saw some of the sports writers speculating that the Bears might consider dealing him.
Yeah, well, you know, there was some interest in him this past offseason. You know, and especially, I guess, the Raiders were very interested in bringing him back, but obviously, you know, the Bears held on to him. So.
And if the Bears do actually deal him, what do they expect in return?
Well, you know, they're pretty much expecting some big-time draft picks. You know, I know they were asking the Raiders for a first-round draft pick plus multiple other picks. I don't know how high or where they were looking. So they're at least expecting a first-rounder plus back.
Well, I think the fans are tired of saying, all right, they got some great draft picks coming up. But they have a team that never seems to make it into the playoffs. So, and this is very unlike the Bears team that I remember watching. And no, they didn't always win. They didn't always win a title. But they were always competitive and always seemed to be in the playoff hunt. And not anymore.
Yeah, well, you have to remember, this team doesn't have a first-round pick next year because they gave it away to get Justin Fields.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, and to be fair, you know, in reality, if Ryan Pace is still the general manager, he hasn't done very well with his first-round picks. He's actually had more success later in the draft, so maybe it's a good thing they don't have a pick.
Yeah, he has not been very successful, has he? And I know that a lot of the fans are excited because of the performance that Fields put on against Pittsburgh, but I'm kind of skeptical about that. Now they're playing a great defensive team on Sunday, so I would be very surprised if he duplicated his success once more.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, these are the games he needs to be tested in to see, you know, to learn and, you know, kind of figure things out as he grows into what is hopefully a franchise quarterback.
It would be nice if the Bears finally got a franchise quarterback, and he has shown some promise. I have to give him that much.
You know, the most difficult thing I think for him may be the transition, because it looks like for sure they're going to be changing coaches after this season. So he'll get a whole new staff, and, you know, that was part of Jay Cutler's downfall, even with all the talent Cutler had, and he had talent. He had a new coach just about every year. So,
yeah, I think we're all kind of convinced that this will be Nagy's last season. Has there been any kind of speculation as who the Bears might consider bringing in as a replacement yet, or is it too soon?
No, you know, they all the reports I've read have said they're looking at candidates, but no names have come up. Of course, knowing the Bears, it will be a first-time head coach. They're not going to go out and hire anybody with any experience. They just don't do that.
Well, it has not done very well for them.
No, you know, and hopefully they'll make a smarter choice this time. You know, this was just, you know, wow, he was on the Kansas City Chiefs staff, but, you know, and, oh, he was the offensive coordinator, except the problem was Andy Reid called the plays. So you had an offensive coordinator who didn't call the offense.
And you think the Bears would have done their homework and have realized what was going on in Kansas City before they made their selection.
Yeah, well, you know, you get excited. You see these teams that are putting up, you know, these big offensive stats, and, you know, you're, oh, yeah, well, we want a guy from that coaching staff. And, you know, and you know, I know Nagy did call plays for a little while, but Andy Reid calls the majority of the plays there. And, you know, that may be what's holding up Eric Bieniemy from being hired by a team is the fact that everybody knows Reid calls the plays. So,
yep, exactly right.
You know, and you look at Matt Nagy and you go, God, why do we want him? You know, look at how this guy did. So, you know, it may be Matt Nagy's fault that Eric Bieniemy can't get a job because he's been terrible.
Yeah. Well, the Bears have had a bye week to rest, and we'll see how they perform this Sunday. Should be interesting at least.
You know, and you know, my big prediction would be that if Matt Nagy is fired by the Bears, or when I should say he's fired, this will be his last and only NFL head coaching job. Nobody else will ever hire him as a head coach.
Well, that's pretty harsh. You really think that he has not acquitted himself well, and despite the fact that he's been around the NFL for a while, nobody's going to take a chance on him after this.
No, yeah, you know, he may get another job, you know, on a coaching staff somewhere, but he will never be an NFL head coach again.
Yeah, well, he had a chance. He had his chance to really make a name for himself, but let's be realistic. He has not got the job done, and it's not all his fault. I mean, you have to blame management, too, a little bit, but you would have liked to have seen a better performance all around.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, the two coaches before him, you know, John Fox hasn't been a head coach in the NFL since the Bears got rid of him, and the only NFL head coaching job Mark Trestman was with the Bears.
True.
So.
Hey, there's always the Canadian Football League, as long as they remain solvent.
Yeah, well, you know, Trestman had great success there, and, you know, you were kind of hopeful when he came in that he could turn it over with the Bears, and it just, you know, it just didn't work out, so.
Well, I think it shows you there's a little bit of a difference between the Canadian Football League and the National Football League.
Well, you know, that, and like you said, you know, it's not always just the coach. I mean, part of the reason Matt Nagy has struggled is because Ryan Pace hasn't surrounded him with talent. So, you know, it's just kind of how it goes. So
yeah, he's made a few selections that have turned out well, but in the main, it's that it hasn't been a wonderful performance by the general manager.
No, you know, when you go through and you start looking, I mean, they haven't really made any big free agent signings besides, I guess, Allen Robinson. So, you know, that's not enough. And, you know, you go through the draft picks and, you know, I mean, hopefully, you know, Justin Fields will be the best one. But when you start looking, you know, you question it. You know, I mean, remember, its first number one pick was Kevin White, who was a complete bust.
Complete, yes. No question about it. And
you know, to be fair, he did get Eddie Goldman in the second round of that draft, who is, you know, when he's been able to stay on the field, has been a good player. The problem is he just can't stay on the damn field.
Yeah, he is. I think he's slowly rounding, finally rounding the shape. I think he was a little better in his last game, so maybe he's healthier now and can perform up to his level for the rest of the season.
You know, and I, you know, you start to wonder. I mean, was it? You know, was Tariq Cohen the best Ryan Pace draft pick, or, you know, maybe Eddie Jackson, who was actually a, you know, they were both fourth round picks. So, you know, I mean, you know, Roquan Smith has done well. You know, he was a first rounder. I don't know if he's done as well as some of the other first rounders, but you go through the offensive linemen and none of them have really solidified anything.
No. I think Smith has been a solid addition to the Bears team.
You know, and obviously, you know, David Montgomery was a very good pick. He was a third-round draft pick. So, you know, they are finding players, but the problem is they're not finding them on the top where you look for guys to turn into superstars.
Yeah, and it just hasn't happened.
So, you know, you just got to kind of wonder, you know, what the problem is. You know, what is Ryan Pace seeing and grading in these guys with his scouts that they're just not working out?
Well, if Nagy goes after the season, do you think is Pace going to go too?
They both should go. Will they go? Will they both go? I don't know. I would like to think that, you know, they're smart enough to realize that Pace has to go. So we'll see.
And continuing on the Bears, I need your opinion about this. You're talking about Allen Robinson. Why hasn't Fields used him very much as a receiver this season? He's been the man. He's been the go-to man for the last couple of years. But, boy, he's had very, very few plays directed towards him in this season.
Well, you know, when you look at the Bears' offense, you know, what are they going to beat you with? Especially with David Montgomery being out. You know, it's Allen Robinson. So, obviously, anytime you think they're going to throw the ball, you double-team Allen Robinson and you make sure he can't get open.
But hasn't he been double-teamed also in the past couple of seasons? Maybe not.
You know, yeah, depending on the situation. But, yeah, obviously not. Or, you know, maybe there was something else going on. You know, maybe they had the right route combination where he was able to get open. So.
Now, is he gone after this season? I know he's.
Yeah, I think so. I don't see them. I don't see him wanting to. Well, you know, they could franchise him again and pay him a whole bunch of money, but I don't see that happening.
No. That's not going to happen.
He's gone.
Yeah, well, they have their. Certainly have their roles, the Bears, and it's unfortunate. And I certainly don't see them winning more than a couple more games for the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, it'll be a surprise if they can, you know, somehow finish above 500. But I just don't see that happening.
No, that's not going to happen. You might as well forget about that one.
You know, they would have to really catch some breaks and be able to win some games that they haven't been able to win earlier this season. You know, they had some games for the taking, and they just couldn't get the job done. So, you know, unless they greatly improve, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, one of my main concerns and one of the things I've really been disappointed in is their terrible pass defense. And if you look about the last game they lost, they had a chance to win that game with a remarkable comeback.
Yeah.
But their pass defense was absolutely horrendous in that last series that Pittsburgh ran.
Yeah, well, you know, there was the Pittsburgh game they should have won, and they probably should have don't know. Maybe there wasn't another game on their schedule they should have won. Looking it over here, they got beat pretty handily by Cleveland. You know, Tampa Bay manhandled them. Maybe they're lucky to have the three wins they have now.
Yeah, they probably are. And I'm sure they're the underdog for Sunday.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they are. I mean, we'll get to that a little later when it's pick time for you. We'll figure all that out. But yeah, looking down their schedule, you've got to think they'll be favorite against Detroit. They'll probably be favorite against Minnesota when the game is in Chicago. And then probably against the Giants. But other than that, I can't see them being favorite against, they're not going to be favorite against the Cardinals or the Packers. Even though the Seahawks struggled, the game is in Seattle. So Seattle will be the favorite. And then in Minnesota, you got to think Minnesota would be the favorite.
Well, at best, they'll probably might come up to what your preseason selection was in terms of wins, which I believe you said was around six.
I had them at like six or seven. And looking at the schedule now, it looks like there's three winnable games because they always seem to split with Minnesota for whatever reason. They should beat Detroit. They should be able to beat the Giants. But they're not beating the Cardinals. They're not beating the Packers. They're not sweeping the Vikings, and I doubt they're going to go all the way to Seattle and win because that's the toughest place in the NFL to play.
Seattle may not be playing great this year, but they are awfully tough to beat on their old home field. That's a loss for
sure. And you figure Russell Wilson will have more games under his belt. He just came back from injury last week, and he looked really rusty against Green Bay. But, by then he'll have, five or six games under his belt. He'll be back to being Russell Wilson. And if that pass defense isn't up to par for the Bears, he'll eat them alive.
Yeah, no question about it.
So.
But we'll watch it. Right?
Yeah.
We don't have much choice. It's the only game on when they play.
Well, as you probably know, the game Sunday is on CBS rather than Fox.
Yeah, being that they're playing an AFC North team, the CBS gets the game. So, just kind of how it goes. And I did see, as we kind of switch up sports here, I've been a little surprised that we've had these free agent signings, and I saw that we had another one yesterday as Justin Verlander has agreed to return to the Houston Astros, and he is returning on one-year, $25 million. So that's pretty big money there for a guy who's basically missed two seasons.
Yeah, they're hoping he'll be healthy for next season, and if he is, they're going to be the team, the favorite again, to win in their division next season for sure. That'll be an easy one for them, I'm sure, and probably go deep into the playoffs.
Oh, and there is a report here that's saying it's actually 2 years at $50 million, $25 million for each year.
Well, they're just hoping he'll stay healthy.
It looks like they've locked him up for a couple seasons. That gets him through, what is he? He is 38, so that gets him to 40. And you've got to wonder if he'll go any farther than that.
That's still a risky move by Houston. In today's baseball world, because there seems to be so many injuries with pitchers now, despite all the procedures in place to keep them healthy, and there's injuries all over the place, and you're talking about free agent signings now. Syndergaard just signed with the Angels, and it's another risky move. I mean, it could turn out great for them, but here's another guy with a history of injuries. So I don't know how this will work out.
When it comes to Verlander, though, this is the first injury he's had, you know, in his 16 or 17-plus year career here.
Yeah, you never know, though. You never know if these guys can bounce back from an injury, even though it's his first one. You hope that he's healthy for the next couple of years. But,
he's got a resume and a history when you look at it. You know, while I like the gamble the Angels took with Syndergaard, because it is just 1 year, and if he does pitch well and they don't contend, they can deal him to a contender.
That's true.
Because, you know, anybody will want to put on that contract. So I don't mind that gamble. While it was risky, I don't think it was a terrible risk. So
I don't see them as a contender in 2022. By signing him.
Well, we'll see if they make the remainder of the moves they've talked about, because, you know, they're talking about adding more pitching. You know, and they have plenty of room to add pitching. So we'll see if they get the job, you know, if they get that job done and actually do it. So
there's a lot of talented free agent pitchers available this season, too.
Yeah. Yeah, there are guys, you know, and apparently Verlander was one of those guys on their list. It was reported that the Angels are looking to sign known veterans to short-term deals like they did with Syndergaard.
Well, if that's the case, then they're going to try to become a contender for in short term at least.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, either they have a big belief in their farm system, you know, or they're just going to try to take a shot here this year and see what happens.
Well, it should be very interesting if they can make some major acquisitions for pitching. They might surprise people next year.
Yeah, you know, if they can, you know, land the guys, you know, that will be the big question is, you know, because obviously everybody's always looking for pitching. So, you know, there's going to be competition for these guys, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we were talking about baseball. I meant to tell you this earlier, and since we are talking about baseball, you should be in a great mood today. I want to congratulate you for one thing.
Yes.
Because it was reported that there was a unnamed person before the baseball season started that invested $30,000 on Ohtani winning the MVP. Allegedly reliable sources tell me it was you, so you are in the big bucks, my friend.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have that ticket. I also wasn't the guy who got the ticket for Robbie Ray to win the Cy Young when the odds were 1-800 or something like that. So,
well, there was one person that picked him preseason too, huh? Wow.
It was actually the guy who one of the guys who gives gambling advice on the MLB Network took Robbie Ray when it was 1-800.
Did they say how much he bet? Did they mention?
No, he wouldn't give away what he bet, but, you know, even, you know, $10 is what, $8,000? So not a bad payoff.
The person who picked Ohtani's going to collect, I know he bet with $30,000, so he's going to get what, around $900?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still kind of bitter about that because he wasn't the most valuable player.
No, he was not. No, I would have voted for Guerrero myself. What do I know? I'm not the expert.
Yeah, you know, they were just so enamored with him because they well, oh my God, he pitches and he plays, and you know, they seem to forget that he doesn't play defense. He just batted.
Yeah, he did have a good season,
you know,
though, and I guess it was kind of a foregone conclusion with at least, what would you say, 2 or 3 months to go, it was kind of a given that he was going to wind up winning it.
Yeah, you know, the problem with that is he was incredibly bad in the second half. You know, I mean, he clearly ran out of gas. But nobody paid any attention to that because they were just so excited with his, you know, his pitching. He pitches and he hits. Oh, he's a two-way player. Oh my God, this is the greatest thing, you know, ever. So, you know, we're looking at an MVP who hit a whopping 257 and struck out 189 times.
Yeah, that's an enormous amount of strikeouts. When are the actual votes cast? I mean, are they cast at the end of the season, or is it prior to that?
Yeah, well, you know, to make it even worse, he was unanimous. They're cast after the regular season. Some guys do mail theirs in early, so you don't never know when these things kind of ended up rolling in. But yeah, either way, they're morons. You know, these guys who voted for this award were just completely clueless on what was going on.
I'm sure the odds were lower with Guerrero, but whoever voted for him must be rather upset as to how it turned out.
Yeah, well, you know, he got 29 second place votes, so they were all in agreement. Somebody actually had him third on their ballot. So
that's hard to believe that someone would vote him for third, but
yeah, well, you know, Sal Perez got a second place vote, and he did have a really good year, so I could kind of see that happening. You know, the problem was it should have been Guerrero first. If you wanted Perez second, that's great. And Ohtani should have been third.
Yeah, that would have made sense.
But
one of the voters
have
ever made sense. They have an occasion, I'm sure.
So, yeah, I mean, this was just, you know, incredibly stupid on their part that he ended up being unanimous. Just a complete joke. They didn't know enough about the game to realize he wasn't the MVP. That and the Angels didn't even contend at all this year.
No. Well, are you in agreement with Harper in the National League getting the vote?
You know, to be honest, I think Juan Soto had the best year, but you're not going to win it on a last-place team, so I don't have a problem with Harper winning it. So
now, this is the second time he's won that, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, this is number two for him. So
I think his stats were better the first time he won it, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, much better. So, you know, definitely much better. I just want to know, are you surprised that no Chicago Cub got a vote? You know, you put 10 guys on your ballot, and no Cub even got a 10th place vote.
Actually, no, I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised.
I know you're not.
No, I was just trying to think who you would even vote for. Well, I guess Wilson Contreras, but his year wasn't that great.
No, and you know, people say how some people thought he had a good year. I can't see that. I thought he had a very poor, mediocre year. He wound up hitting 220, 225.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I thought he had a better year. You know, when you start to include like the defense and stuff, he had a really solid year, but he just didn't hit well.
No, he did not. Although I think he hit over 20 homers, but
yeah, the power
was mediocre.
But, you know, so, you know, but yeah, the only thing surprising about the National League one was, you know, Tatis ended up third and Brandon Crawford fourth. You know, even though the Giants won 107 games and Tatis missed a huge handful of games being injured, he still got in the top three.
Yeah, now explain how that could have happened. That doesn't make too much sense.
They get enamored with the home runs. You know, you hit a lot of home runs, and that's one of the things that really only matters now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And we talked about it before, the amount of strikeouts is, I mean, what could he do to address that issue? Nothing, I suppose.
No. Well, they don't have to. They don't have to address it. Nobody cares. You and I are the only two guys who care.
Yeah, it could be an exciting game when, as we always talk about, the hit and run is a beautiful play, but you don't see it too often.
No. You know, that's because, you know, you can't really do it because too many guys swing through the ball and there's just too big of a chance of getting a strike them out, throw them out. So.
And as you talk about baseball, hey, time is getting closer now, right? Today is what, today's the 19th, so in less than 2 weeks, it's time to put up or shut up, and will there be a strike or not?
Yeah, well, technically, once the CBA expires, it's a lockout.
Yeah, that's right. That's the correct union terminology. That's right, lockouts.
So, yeah, that'll be the big thing there. And then we'll just see how long it takes them to negotiate whatever.
I'm sure the free agents aren't looking forward to a lockout because that would probably prevent a lot of them from being signed.
Yeah, because you can't sign while there's a lockout. So.
Yeah, I don't anticipate a quick resolution to this one, but we've been surprised before.
No, and, you know, they need to be smart enough to realize that they have to start on time with everything going on, because if you don't, you're killing the game. So.
Yeah, the fans are pretty upset the last time there was a work stoppage, and only the home run battle between Sosa and McGuire kind of kept the interest alive.
So, yeah, they, you know, and I'm hoping they're smart enough. Unfortunately, you know, we've been through this before, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's, I hate to say it, I think it's greed on both sides that causes.
Oh, always.
Yeah, on both sides, not just management side, but you got to blame the players too.
Yeah.
Of course, the players always have
everybody wants more money.
Yeah, and the players always have their standard line about it, too. Most of them, we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for the next generation of players.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, that's just the general BS that they always throw out there. So. But, yeah, we'll see. You know, like I said, hopefully they are smart enough and can get it taken care of. But, it's hard to be confident in them. So.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we'll just have to kind of see.
Well, we covered baseball and football, by the way, but we haven't covered hockey and basketball yet.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, you know, I mean, the Bulls had either way, it's going to be a successful West Coast trip for them because
they've managed to
win some games, which doesn't generally happen.
So. They did revert back to form, unfortunately, the last game against Portland when they let a big lead slip by. But I have to tell you something. I just found out something the other day on hockey, real quickly on this. Do you know that Jonathan Toews hasn't got a goal, a point this year? I don't think he has anything. Did you know that?
He hasn't scored yet?
I believe that's what I heard the other day. He has not scored yet this season. Did you know that? I, I was shocked when I heard that. Maybe I misheard it, but if you could double check that, because it looked like he was playing pretty well after being out for a season.
I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't have a goal, but I would like to assume he's at least got a point. He, you know, should have assisted on something.
Maybe I'm thinking of goals.
Yeah, he does. He hasn't scored a goal yet, but he does have 8 assists.
Right. I was talking about a goal, the assists are good, but you would like to think that at this stage of the game he would have a goal or two.
Yeah, it is a little surprising. You know, he's played in 16 games, which I think is every game for the Hawks. It is a little surprising that he hasn't managed to get one into the net.
But he looks pretty good out there.
Yeah. To be fair, he's never been a huge goal scorer.
No, that's true.
So, you know, and sometimes with these guys, you know, they come in bunches. You know, like when he gets the first one, you know, he may go on a streak and get, you know, 5 or 6 in the next, five games. So,
once the floodgates are open, then you might start scoring again some goals. But I heard that the Blackhawks are one of the longest win streaks now in the National Hockey League, which is hard to believe.
Well, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. What do they have? What, 4? Is it? Is that
four
what? Is that 4 or 5
four,
now?
4.
Yeah.
4.
It's always a. With ties, and of course, they don't really have ties anymore because you got the shootouts now. You just get the point. So, they've been playing better. I guess they just needed the coaching change, right?
Right. Well, also, I don't think the competition that they played against for those last 4 games have been of the upper level variety.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see how, you know, if they can keep it going, because I think they play Edmonton tomorrow.
Correct.
So that'll be a tough
game. Yeah,
the Blackhawks actually have the second longest winning streak. The Maple Leafs have won 5 in a row. The Blackhawks have won 4 in a row.
Yeah, and it'll be tough to win tomorrow night at Edmonton.
Yeah. Well, you know, anytime they're like all the other Chicago teams, anytime you get out, they go on these West Coast trips and stuff. It just, for whatever reason,
it's difficult.
Yeah, they scuffle. So, you know, but yeah, well, you know, hey, it's just nice to see them actually playing a little better after that horrendous start. I mean, no matter who they're beating or how they're doing it, at least they're managing to get wins.
Yeah, they don't seem to have too much in the way of offense. Yeah, they did okay against the Kraken, but Seattle is not a very good team.
So yeah, no, they. You would think they would have better offense, but it just really hasn't come together yet. So. You know, and like you mentioned, you know, Taze doesn't have a goal. I saw where Kirby Dach only has 3, and he's supposed to be a big-time goal scorer.
Yeah.
You know, it's really just Patrick Kane and Alec DeBrincat who are the only guys scoring.
Those are the two horses right now. And, Kane is having another great season, and he may go down. He's got to be one of the all-time best United States-born hockey players ever.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, then don't forget, you know, when they picked up the goalie, you know, they thought that would help solve a lot of their problems, and he hasn't been very good.
And his age catching up to him. He's not a youngster, this guy. They got
this would probably be
time.
His only year here, would be my guess. I don't think he'll be back next year.
Doesn't he have a
You know, he
deal?
Almost didn't play this year. He's considered retired.
Yeah, he was considering retiring, that's right.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a 2-year deal, but I guess it could always be maybe just worded so that they don't have to keep him after 1 year.
Yeah, well, he might, you know, he might just decide, you know, to walk away. You know, that this may be it. They're, you know, if they don't get rolling or get in the playoffs or do something. So.
You know, as you say, though, it's at least nice to see them winning a little bit and playing better. But I'm not quite sure if the coaching change has much to do with it.
No, probably not, but, you know, it's nice to see, so. You know. But now, you know, we had another one of these situations in the NBA that I wanna run by you. Now, tonight, Golden State is on the road. They're in Detroit. They're playing the Pistons. Now, obviously, the Pistons are a bad team. They're off to a terrible start. I want to get their record here, but my internet is goofing me up here. They are actually 4-10. They have the second worst record in the Eastern Conference. This is the only time Golden State comes to Detroit this year. You only make one trip in the NBA. The Warriors have already announced that Steph Curry won't be playing tonight. How many people do you think bought tickets to the Pistons game tonight to see Steph Curry, and now he's not playing?
Yeah, and we have talked about that, and that's really unfortunate. I think a lot of people have spent their hard-earned money when they saw that Golden State was coming to Detroit just to see him play, and now he's not going to be playing, not because of an injury. Are they just giving him a rest? Yeah. Is that the
he's just taking the night off.
And that's unfair to the fans, as far as I'm concerned. That's just unfair to the fans.
Yeah. So, again, I want to double-check something here. I was thinking that. I mean, you know, Draymond Green's not going to play either, so obviously they're resting their guys because it's the Pistons. So...
Yeah, and you don't think they're going to lose to the Pistons anyway, right?
No, even so, you know. Now, they did play last night in Cleveland, and this will be their third game in four nights. So, I don't know. Do you think that still is reason to rest him?
Maybe so, and... I think maybe they could have put him in there, at least in, for a limited amount of minutes. Wouldn't that have been more of a thing to satisfy the fans who came out to see him play? Let him play a quarter and a half, and rest him for the second half of the game.
To be fair, this is only their 16th game, so it's not like he's been playing – you know, 70 games and they've got, you know, a back-to-back where he could probably use a night off. He's played 15 games.
And you look at it from management's point of view, though, that I could see something about the fact that resting him might be a good idea, because despite the fact that there is supposedly limited contact in the NBA, there does seem to be a lot of injuries.
Yeah, I just there's no reason he couldn't have suited up and played short minutes.
Right, short minutes, that's what I said, yeah. Short minutes might have been the way to go. Kind of a compromise situation.
He starts the game, you know, they let him play the first 5 or 10 minutes of the game, and then you sit him out. You know, is that really that big a deal? You know, or he plays the first quarter, and then you give him 3 off.
No, exactly.
How hard is that?
Can you imagine Phil Jackson looking at Michael Jordan saying, "I'm going to rest you tonight, Michael," and you know the kind of look that Jordan would give him?
Yeah.
The glare he would give him?
You know, yeah, just, I mean, you know, any of the, you know, and it's weird just the way this has all changed with players and the way they're handled and, you know, I mean, to tell these guys you're going to sit out, you know, that would have been unheard of back in the day. And now it's just a daily thing. It's a daily thing in the NBA.
Yeah. And don't you think, and I'm trying to think back now, don't you think that there are more injuries now in the NBA than there was then?
Well, you know, the way I kind of look at that now is there are more diagnosed. You have to wonder if guys played through stuff that today's players don't.
Yeah, they just sucked up and played ball, and maybe they weren't looked at as closely as they looked at now.
You know, because like Kevin Durant is going to sit out tonight. The Nets happen to be playing the East Conference, the Magic. They're at least saying he has a shoulder sprain. Now, I guarantee you, if this was the '80s Michael Jordan era, those guys would have played, no matter who they were playing against. You know, the reason Durant is sitting out is giving a night off and they're playing the match, so it's a good night to sit out, just like Curry against the Pistons.
I remember in years past when a player was hurting for some reason, but he was not kind of iffy to play, he would get a pain injection and still play the game. Now, can they still do that now? Or at least say no?
Yeah, I believe they can.
They can still do that.
I believe it's the player's choice, though. So.
But you know, just looking back, it seems that there are more injuries now than I could remember back when in the 90s. A lot more.
Yeah, but you know, it's like that in all sports. You know, you can go through, and I think it's just the fact that they diagnose more now. You know, medicine has improved, and they see these things. So.
Yeah, but with all the modern medicine, though, we've talked about this before. Look at all the pitchers who come down with Tommy John injury. He has to get that surgery more than ever before. But as you pointed out, it's because it's diagnosed now. And in the years past, saying, "Well, he has a sore arm, he has a sore shoulder. We'll rest him for a while and put him back in action." And that could have curtailed someone's career by doing that.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, it definitely had it probably ended some careers when you think about it.
Yeah.
So. But all right, well let's get in some picks here for you. You did bounce back. You had a 3-1 week, so you are now 81-68. So while we are here, we will start with the aforementioned Bulls. Believe it or not, the Nuggets are just a one-point favorite tonight. So are you willing to pick the Bulls and take the point, or are you like Denver and you give away the point?
I'm going to go make a choice here and say the Bulls are going to bounce back tonight from their loss to Portland and defeat Denver.
All right, so you're gonna give away the gonna take the point there. So you got the Bulls plus one tonight. Now the game total is listed as 208. Do you have them going over or under?
208, huh?
Yeah.
I would think they're gonna go. They'll go over that number.
So, and now we will jump to the Blackhawks. As I mentioned, they are playing back-to-back. They're in Edmonton tonight, and then they go to Vancouver tomorrow. Now, they have a total to get 4 points out of these two games. How many do they get?
I will say they go for a zero.
Ooh, okay. I thought for sure, you know, because Vancouver actually has the same record as them. I thought maybe you would think they might get the big tie there or something. So,
both of these games are on the road, correct?
Yes, yeah. It's part of their West Coast trip still.
I thought the Edmonton game was tomorrow night, but maybe you're right. I don't know. Maybe it was.
Oh, actually, no. I think you're right. It's Saturday, Sunday. It's not. It's Saturday, Sunday. My mistake there. But it is back-to-back. I just screws
yeah,
it.
Yeah, not that it makes any difference, right? But
yeah.
I'll be looking for
so,
that
all right.
instead of Rampage. Well,
yeah, we will move to our final pick here. We'll go all the way to Sunday. The Ravens are a six-point favorite currently against the Bears. The game is in Chicago. That's actually a big number for a home team. You taking the Bears plus six, or are you going with Baltimore and giving away almost a touchdown?
I'm going to go with Baltimore in this game on Sunday afternoon.
So Baltimore, and you're going to give away six big points. So we will see how that goes then. So, all right. So you are all set for your weekend of picks now. And we will have to see how you do.
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me who my picks are for the WWE pay-per-view on Sunday night, and I couldn't venture any guesses on that one.
Yeah, no, that would – you imagine how impossible that's going to be to pick because they're doing that goofy champion versus champion stuff, and you know they're not going to want either champion to get pinned.
Do you anticipate an outside interference-type finish or a ref bump?
Yeah, and probably every match. Any match that features champion versus champion, I expect some kind of lame screw job type finish. You know, none of them will be clean.
There's always a double pin, right? They haven't done that one in
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, so, well, you know, I did read that apparently they're planning a controversial finish for the Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair match, so maybe that's the one we'll see it in.
She's had a heck of a career, Ric Flair's daughter, and everybody thought his sons were going to be the great wrestlers like his father, but it turned out just the opposite. His daughter is the one who's had a terrific career so far.
Well, to be fair, everybody was high on Reed. He just couldn't, you know, beat his demons.
No.
You know, it ended up, you know, just, you know, he ended up losing his life because he just couldn't fight those demons.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so many others, like even more talented wrestlers, of course, like Kurt Henning couldn't deal with his demons, and he was a terrific second-generation wrestler, among many others.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, in the wrestling business, that kind of stuff has taken its toll, be it intentionally or even in some cases, you know, unintentionally, guys taking, you know, too many sleeping pills or too much pain medication, you know, not thinking you can handle it.
I'm wondering, I always wonder if because of these crazy bumps they take now, comparison to the old days, and with the tables and the ladders and the chairs and the wear and tear, that's, even though it's a work match, it's got to take your toll on your body. And maybe that leads to some of these pills.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. All right. Well, we'll get them started. We'll be back. Thank you for being on. While we're going, you know, this is the fourth time radio.com. Look for the blog top and update tomorrow. While you're over there, hit that link and follow it over to the fourth time radio Facebook page. It's not over there. Don't let it go. Don't forget, you know, the Twitter feed is on fourth time radio. And feel free to look me up on Twitter as well. I'm going to have a first time. But DURCDCILD is one. Well, thanks for doing that, but if you missed out,